Hi, this is Susan Smith Nash, and I'm getting back to doing podcasts after having a pretty slow pace over the last month. Frankly, I've been a little bit depressed. I won't go into it really at all, but anyway, I just wanted to say that it's nice to be back, and today's topic is pit bull brainstorming. You're saying, what on earth is that? And that's a good question. What it is about is how to engage interest and the affect or emotional side of things from people who are like in a distributed environment at a distance, and how to really sort of engage them with something that's a little bit controversial, but very much about what's going on today. And to, like, use it not just as a one-time thing, but say, okay, here's a strategy for going ahead with all sorts of things, going ahead with brainstorming as an invention technique for rhetoric and composition, for writing papers, but not just for English composition, but for anything where one needs to brainstorm. You know, I was going to call it the great concatenation of questions. And I thought, okay, the great concatenation of questions. That's appealing, huh? Not really, huh? Not appealing because, although I love the word concatenation from the word meaning chain in Latin. And also, if you think of it, you know, like, of course, the derivative form, cadena, in Spanish also means chain. So it's fun to think about, you know, concatenation, a chain of questions, an interlocking chain. But it really doesn't work too well in terms of a catchy title. So I thought, why don't we talk about the thing, the concrete object or concept that can animate the concatenation of questions. So, brainstorming is fun, and there are a lot of ways to do it. Mind mapping, trees, decision trees, outlines, clusters. But, you know, the thing to me that's limiting about those techniques is that they focus on the what instead of the how or the why. And in my view, in order to get to the deeper issues, you've got to ask some a little bit more probing questions than, like, what? If you've got to, like, really interrogate the topic and ask questions that trigger more questions. So this great chain of questions, the great chain of being, which is sort of hierarchical, but then it's also non-hierarchical, it's kind of flat. It just spawns more questions. And it's really good when you're thinking about it. The probing questions make you have to look at relationships, causality, sequences, time relationships. And they also make you look at your supporting proof or documentation, your evidence. So before I, like, repeat endlessly concatenation of questions, because I love the alliteration in that, I'll go ahead and say, let's look at a topic. So one topic that illustrates this technique is the pit bull. Pit bull, yes, our beloved American pit bull terrier that just today made headlines for supposedly mauling a 4-year-old as the 76-year-old grandmother kept the pit bull at bay. There was something a little bit fishy about that story, though, because, like, then they said, well, the grandmother defended the child by letting the pit bull bite her. But then it was hard to prove that the pit bull did it because the owner took the pit bull off and washed the pit bull's mouth out with soap. You're going, what? Yes, this is true. In order to get rid of the evidence that the pit bull had actually chewed into flesh, the owner decided to rinse its mouth out. The naughty dog, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap if you ever say that again. Stop barking at me like that. Oh, it's not funny. I know it's not, but I just think that sometimes there's hysteria, exaggeration, and sensationalism. And it's just being heightened by the media to the point that entire cities are contemplating breed bans. A breed ban is where no one is allowed to have a dog of a certain breed within the city limits. One good example is right now is Denver. Denver's banning them. So it's like, wow, not maybe a bad idea for Denver itself, but a very bad idea for the neighbors. Because the neighboring towns are starting to become pit bull dumping grounds. And I have to say, okay, yes, that leads to a few very bizarre mental images. I can think of just, you know, cattle drives of pit bulls, of little dogs yelping and of course mauling everything in their path. I think it would be a really good movie to have, like, Pit Bull Repository Town. But I don't want to detract from what we're really supposed to be talking about, which is a way to do an online course that really engages the students, gives them a little bit of self-determination because they can choose the things that they want to talk about with respect to the pit bulls. And they can take a position. They can say, oh, I just really love these pit bulls. It's just all about how they're misunderstood as a breed. And if they're just loved enough and trained correctly, they will never be naughty. Or the other side of it is that they're monsters, they're monster dogs, devil dogs, but not Marines. These are like the apotheosis of incredibly vicious, unredeemable, bad dogs that need to be kept away from polite society. At any rate, one way to get students engaged in the topic is not just to talk about this scandalous stuff, not just to show pictures, but to refer people to audio. In this case, there's a very good National Public Radio show, and it's entitled Targeting Aggressive Dog Breeds in California. And the MP3 file is available through the NPR website. So that's a really good thing for the students. They can listen to it. They can download it to their iPod, wander around. They can take their pit bull on a walk because they listen to how the pit bulls have attacked children and anybody who seems the least bit vulnerable. And then they can decide whether or not there's too much hysteria. Anyway, so I started to listen to the show. I used Real Player. I didn't use Windows Media Player, even though I have that. And it was interesting. As I started to listen to the show, questions started to come into my mind. First, there were, like, perplexing questions. One thing you can tell your students to say, okay, just let your thoughts flow, but write them down somehow or organize them. If you're not, like, at a computer, or if you don't have a piece of paper, get out your BlackBerry and use the notes. Just draft up some notes. Use your PDA to type in a few little notes. If you're not in a convenient place, then you can, like, email them to yourself. But, okay, so when the questions start flowing in, instead of positing answers or sort of talking back, just let yourself have more questions. So, let's get to the perplexing questions. what is a pit bull anyway? And we find out it's like one of, you know, there are 10 breeds that are considered, quote, pit bulls. And like, how can a cute small dog be so darn dangerous? Well, it's a question, and it's worth investigating. Also, who is saying that they're bad? And, you know, why are they saying that? Why are they making that pronouncement? What do some people want to do with the pit bulls? Where is it and why? So those questions, you know, like, get the ball rolling, and then they lead to more questions that kind of have to do with history, background, thoughts. Okay, so why are pit bulls aggressive? Were they bred that way? Who uses the ultra-aggressive pit bulls? I mean, is there pit bull fighting? And also, who might need such an aggressive dog? These are questions. Are there any groups, you know, like nefarious types of underworld groups that might use pit bulls? Would they be used as attack dogs or guard dogs? You know, what's the concept? Then we go to the other side of the coin. We ask questions like, what is good about a pit bull? Why do some people say the breed is very loving when they can see with their own eyes, you know, the hunks of flesh that were torn out of a child or an elderly woman who was just like, you know, mowing her yard or working in her garden? Can pit bulls be friendly? Can they be happy? Can they be like loving, affectionate dogs? Now, let's get the questions more personal. Ask the students to ask questions that connect the topic to their own lives. So in this case, let's say about pit bulls. What would I do if I had a pit bull? How would I train it? Would I condition it? Why would I modify the behavior? Then say, are there any business opportunities here? Like, could I make dog chow for ultra-aggressive dogs that makes them, like, even more aggressive if I want them to be just incredibly insane guard dogs? And if so, is there, like, an ethical issue here? Another question is there a business opportunity in making, you know, like, mellow chow? Dog chow that makes them calm down, tranquilizing chow. Another thought is, could an enterprising mayor say, hey, let's make a pit bull friendly town? So, like, I have a community next to a large community that has had a breed ban, and I say, we love pit bulls. So then I had, you know, it set up the thing so there were the, of course, safety measures, and people would have to be careful not to let their dogs just, you know, maul at will all the people that happen to be out wandering around outside without protective clothing. Even though I really can't think of offhand, you know, what kind of protective clothing one could wear. Maybe a suit of armor? Hey, that's a business opportunity too. The suit of armor for strolling around your pit bull infested neighborhood. Well, I'm sort of regretting podcasting this idea because, you know, undoubtedly someone will steal it from me and make a lot of money as they set up their pit bull friendly town, and then they have rental suits of armor for people who like to go walking around in the high-risk areas like sidewalks. Well, so see how effective this is. Your students get really engaged in the topic, and they, once they ask one question, they ask other questions and tell them no question is too silly. The only questions that are not good are the ones that are not asked, or the ones that have nothing to do with the topic. So, this is an idea for a concept for an invention strategy exercise. Feel free to borrow the name Pit Bull Brainstorming, but like, give me credit, and that would be nice. I'm sure you're all too happy to give me, quote, credit for such a weird concept. It is late. But hey, I'm not feeling depressed right now. That's a plus. Anyway, thank you for listening. This is Susan Smith Nash, and you've been listening to some thoughts on e-learning. Bye.